My name is Ty French, and these are my rants.
Welcome to Ty Rants.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to Ty Rants. My name is Ty French, and these are my rants. Happy hump day. I'm going to try my very, very hardest to get through this whole episode without dying, without coughing up a lung, because like I told you guys on Friday's episode, I went to Lake Arrowhead this weekend, and it was a ball of time, had a ball. Tequila definitely went out, like I said. I wasn't going to participate in the activity and the routine of Dry January. And as you guys know, I had an ear infection. And I was sick the week before the ear infection. Now, I was fully honest with myself, with God, with the universe, and with you guys, that I was fully aware that going to Lake Arrowhead and partaking in the devil's juice of tequila, that tequila would come out. And I knew full well that was probably not a smart medical decision, that if consulted by my doctor or medical practitioner, they definitely would have had advised not to participate in the devil's juice during my weekend getaway up into the mountains of Lake Arrowhead for my friend Nick Mackey's birthday. However, you know what? Tequila, you can't tell her what to do. You can't tell her when she is or is not allowed out of the house, okay? A little ear infection ain't gonna stop her. A little cough ain't gonna stop her. Now the cough is stopping her. Because at this point, I don't even know if I have an ear infection anymore because I haven't had hearing for 5 days. So I don't even know. It all just, you know, it's my new normal. It's my new normal. Okay. The ear is my new normal. So at least I'm not in pain for the ear. However, the cough is back. Now, you guys know I kind of have like a looming cough just like always. I deal with like acid reflux, shit, whatever. But this cough that came knock, knock, knocking at my door is a little different than just a little acid reflux cough, you know. It is going to bring up my lung. My lung is going to literally rise outside of my esophagus and come outside of my mouth. That is what it feels like. And I probably scared all my friends at Lake Arrowhead, but I was like, sorry, if you guys want me to keep drinking tequila shots, then you guys are going to have to deal with the cough, because guess what? The tequila shots aren't helping the cough, okay? So if you want me to be the designated driver of this experience, of this weekend, metaphorically, then say that. But if not, you're going to have to deal with the cough when we start drinking up tequila shots. Anyways, so the cough is back. And I feel like I'm dying. And I'm really going to try to get through this whole episode. But yeah, I mean, oh my gosh. Rest in peace to my neighbors. I am so sorry to the individuals whom I share a wall with, because I'm not yet at a financial situation where I could own a home where my walls don't touch anyone else except for my own property. I'm not in that financial situation yet. I do live in an apartment, as we all know, in the sunny city of Venice. And I do share walls with people. And they probably think that I am dying of lung cancer. Like, I am literally coughing up my lung. And I can't stop it. I can't control it. Once it starts going, there's no stopping it. And guess what? I don't like it as much anymore than they do. You think I want this life? You think I chose this life? Yes, I did not make smart decisions. And yes, I did drink an absurd amount of tequila shots while having an ear infection and probably still recovering from a head cold. Yes, I did choose to do that, but I didn't choose this repercussion. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, if you hear a little cough, I'll probably edit it out. But if my voice sounds a little scraggly, it's been like that for the last few episodes, but you know what? We're here, we're queer, and all that you guys need to know is that I had a grand old time. I survived Lake Arrowhead, and it was seriously such a fun weekend. We didn't really do much because, as I'm sure you could imagine, there's not much to do in Lake Arrowhead. Okay, there is no gay bars. There's barely any bars. But we just played a lot of board games. We played like Super Smash Bros, a lot of Jackbox TV. A lot of drinking was involved. There was a hot tub involved. And we did try to go sledding. Now, you know, picture about five homosexuals coming from the big city, Los Angeles, up to this little mountain town of Lake Arrowhead, California. When I tell you, I looked like Angie Cassidavis from The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City stepping on that mountain to go sledding. I looked like a literal Real Housewife of Miami stepping onto that mountain to go tubing. I was in head-to-toe diesel, the brand, and it was just like a very loud print, you know, a lot of words, a lot of prints, whatever. And I had these gorgeous sunglasses that, I'm not saying the bitch copied me, but Beyonce does also have those sunglasses. I'm just saying I've had them for like 10 years and she wore it in the visuals that we'll never see. Anyways, so I step onto the scene, you know, looking like a Real Housewife of Salt Lake City, ready to just annihilate these little ratty little kids on this mountain to sled. Now, we get up there, you know, there's a big long line. We had to drive like 40 minutes to get there because there wasn't that much snow where we were. So we had to kind of go to Big Bear. Anyways, so we get there and we have to wait in this long line. We, of course, make the birthday boy wait in line while we go to the bar and get some drinks. Then, you want to know what happened? He gets all the way to the front of the line about an hour later. And the time slot that we thought we were going to hit was already sold out. So we thought we were getting the 2 o'clock. Then we got pushed to the 4 o'clock. We already drove all the way there. You know, we had some bevies, whatever. We're like, okay, you know what? Let's just, there's a bar, there's food. Let's après-ski. We're going to have an après-ski moment. We're going to have a ball of time. And then it'll be even better because then we will get to go tubing while being inebriated. So, you know, we're trying to just look for the light. We're looking for the good in, because I'm in my positive era, as you guys know, I'm not a complainer these days. So we're finding the positive. And the positive is we could have lunch, we could have some bevies, and then we get to go tubing around gorgeous sunset time. So then we get to the tip top of the mountain. We're ready to go. The engines are revved up. I'm feeling loose. I'm feeling happy. I'm ready to just soaring, flying. I'm ready to fly over the mountain. I'm ready to fly over the hill. And unfortunately, the person right before me did fly over the hill. The person that went right before me, after driving an hour to this place, waiting particularly 4 hours for it to be our turn to tube, the person in front of me flew up over the hill and they told us they were shutting down the mountain. Imagine me, you know, trying to find the positive in that situation. Now, Ty French probably could find the positive in that situation. You know, maybe, you know, everything happens for a reason. Someone could have really gotten hurt, yada, yada. However, Tyquila can't find the positive in this situation. Tyquila was fully present and she was not having it. She was contacting a lawyer. She was contacting a federal prosecutor. She was contacting the local judge. She was contacting ABC News. Tyquila was not having it. She was turning in Karen Keela. She wanted to speak to the manager and she was going down that freaking mountain, whether anyone allowed it or not. Luckily, I don't know if, you know, they heard some mumblings under my breath or not, but they did eventually let us go. However, by the time they let us go, we were in such a bad mood that they told us that the mountain was shutting down and that we had to walk all the way back down. Oh, and don't worry, we weren't getting a refund. They said no refunds. And so then by the time that they finally let us go down, I was already annoyed. Karen had already come out of the closet, okay? So, and we paid for like a time period. We were supposed to be going down this mountain one after the next. Again. No, we went down one time. And when I say mountain, I say that very loosely. It was a small hill. That wasn't even that steep. So we did pay about $70 to wait 5 hours at the sledding hill and go down it one time. Uno time down that hill. Hustle like a muchacho. Yeah, needless to say, the sledding definitely wasn't the highlight of the trip, but nonetheless, something to talk about. Am I right? Story for the podcast. Anything that shocking happens to me, I just get to come back and I get to tell my little tyrants, okay? Other than that, we had so much fun. We went out to like a local bar, maybe for like literally 5 minutes, because by that point we were already hammered. And one of my friends literally broke his glass all over the ground of the bar. Literally, we had been in there for 5 minutes. So we ordered food to go. And we went back home and we just like hung out in the hot tub. We listened to music, played so many games. We watched the scariest movie. We watched Talk to Me, which is this new A24 horror film, like thriller, that I think you can watch on Max. And oh my gosh, everyone else fell asleep in the last like 20 minutes of it. I don't know how. I was wide awake. I'm wide awake. Yeah, I was in the dark. I was falling hard with an open heart. I'm wide awake. Come on, Katy Perry. Wide awake. Stream on Spotify. Anyways, so I was fully awake. And I also didn't want to go to bed afterwards because I was so scared that I was going to have nightmares about this movie. It was terrifying. If you like thrillers, I will say it was very good. So I do recommend if you like thrillers. I'm not like, I only will watch a thriller like if I'm with friends. I cannot do it. I mean, obviously alone. Who watches thrillers alone? But I don't know. It was a one and done. I don't think I ever need to see it again. But I won't say anything because I don't want to spoil it for you guys. But go watch Talk to Me if you guys like thrillers. I had never been to Lake Arrowhead before. I'd been to Big Bear before just last year when we went for Nick Mackey's birthday as well. But this was my first time at Lake Arrowhead. Now, I love Arrowhead water. Delicious. Local water sourced from the California mountains. And they have this little like village there that is basically just like a little like shop, center, restaurants, whatever by the lake. When I tell you it was so gorgeous, it was so stunning. Lake Arrowhead is so cute. I'm so curious to see what it looks like in the summer because honestly, mountain lake towns, yes, so cute in the winter, you know, Christmassy, whatever. No, the mountains thrive in the summer. Utah, everyone always highlights Utah in the winter. Even like the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, they're always doing winter activities. No, Utah is nothing in the winter. Whatever, it's gorgeous, it's pretty. Utah in the summer? I'm so sorry. You might as well be in the Swiss Alps. It is so gorgeous. So many wildflowers. Everyone's yards are so perfect. The grass is so green. The mountains are so tall. They're so luscious. The aspen trees are everywhere. It's so gorgeous. It's so stunning. And yeah, so stay tuned. Maybe I'll go to Lake Arrowhead this summer in my mountain era. Needless to say, I'm not okay. Needless to say, I am exhausted. This weekend took everything out of me. The cough, the ear infection, the tequila. I'm done. I need to rest. I need no one to speak to me. I need a copious amount of water immediately. I need probably an antibiotic and probably some prayers. So if you have any prayers, send them over to me. Yesterday, we celebrated the holiday by just driving home. Thank God there was no traffic yesterday because it was a holiday. So the drive only took us like an hour and 45 minutes to get home because on the way there on Friday, we didn't leave until like 2 p.m. It took us literally double the amount of time. It took us like 4 hours, maybe even 4.5 hours. We did not go more than 20 miles an hour the entire way there. And it was pain if I've ever felt pain before. It was so frustrating, but I'm not going to sit here and complain about it because I'm not in a complaining era. I'm feeling a little bit better today after resting, not having tequila in my body for 24 hours. And I woke up this morning and refreshed my Instagram feed. And what do I see at the top? What pops up? Miss Kylie Jenner has entered the chat with pink hair. Mama, King Kylie era is back in full swing. The Tumblr 2014 aesthetic is in full swing. Everyone is talking about 2014. Like, everyone is obsessed. Everyone is bringing back this era. And it's just so funny to me because I'm sure a lot of us are the similar age, a lot of us tyrants. But 2014, like, just seems so recent to me that now we're, like, idolizing it and glamorizing the things like the Instagram filters and just, like, the way that things were shot or whatever. I'm like, wait, that's still cringy to me because, maybe I'll look at it this way. Maybe I'm excited for the 2014 era to have a part two because now I'm actually cute and I can maybe do it right. I've learned my lessons. I've learned what not to do from my first time around in 2014 because if 2014 is coming back and I had to relive it the same way that I experienced 2014 the first time, all I have to say is, hustle wake muchacho, I'm deleting Instagram, see you later. Because my 2014 aesthetic was absolutely horrendous. It was so not cute. I was so ugly. It was pre-veneers. I was dyeing my hair every color under the sun. I had the worst haircut known to man. My fashion sense was absolutely the most terrifying thing on the planet. I went to Fashion Week with Amber Filler up in 2014 and I went to Forever 21 and got all my outfits there. And let me just tell you, they were not good. They were not good. And it's not even like they weren't good and now they were so bad that like now they're kind of good, which is kind of like the 2014 aesthetic. Like 2014 was so millennial, like cringe that now that's kind of coming back, you know, the Tumblr core, whatever. But when you were doing it the first time, it wasn't right. And it feels a little too soon to be, you know, glamorizing that aesthetic. So I don't know. We'll see how much of 2014 I really embrace. And I need to go to, I do have an old Instagram account from 2014. I will not be telling any of you guys about it because it's my Finsta now. But I need to go back and scroll through all of those posts from 2014 and really, you know, hone in on my authenticity of 2014 Ty French and really see how much of him I'm going to bring back. Also, my friend Hunter, his Instagram is at High End Homo, made a really good point today. He posts like a lot about fashion stuff and fashion shows and just like commentary on, you know, red carpets and everything. I love his opinions so much and I seriously just love following him. Anyways, so he posted today about Kylie doing the hair, the pink hair, and bringing back the King Kylie era. And I've just been seeing so many TikToks about the 2014 era coming back. Addison Rae is doing it in full swing as well. She has like an iPhone 5. Anyways, he said, I'm incredibly curious to see what the 2020s will be known for when it comes to fashion, as it seems that we have been constantly chasing nostalgia the whole time. Y2K, Indie Sleaze, and now 2014. It seems no one is creating the now. And what happens when we run out of eras? This has been on my mind so much lately, and I'm so glad that he like put that into words because we are a generation that is just constantly chasing nostalgia. Now, you guys know, my little tyrants, that I obviously love nostalgia and I love reflecting on things and, you know, healing your inner child with things that you liked back then, or I don't know. I think it's fun and I think it's amazing. Obviously, I love that Gucci is like so reminiscent of like the 80s and the 70s and all of this vibe. I like, you know, reflecting back on eras. But what like back in the day, like were they reflecting back on eras? Like, I don't think so. Like when you were in the 1800s, like you were just dressing of what that vibe was. And then when you were in the 1900s, you were dressing of what that vibe was. And people were constantly creating new ideas and new, you know, traditions and this or whatever. And now I feel like we just got to a point where we're so overstimulated with so much information and so many ideas. And there's so many different styles and cultures and everything that we're aware of now that there's not like one main looming aesthetic. And I really feel like 2014 was the last marker of that vibe. Like 2014 definitely did have an aesthetic and a vibe. And, you know, the 2000s had a vibe and aesthetic. And then the 1990s, the 1980s, the 1970s, and they were all so different from each other. And I'm sure there was like little inspirations or like one trend kind of led to the next, but now it is just one big clusterfuck. and mumbo jumbo collaboration of so many different eras, so many different vibes, so many different cultures, so many different things. And it is so overwhelming. Like, what is 2020 or 2024 style going to be known as? Well, 2020 is going to be known as COVID chic with a mask. But like 2024, like, what are designers doing right now? What are celebrities wearing right now that are going to be known in the culture, like, forever? And I kind of feel that way about what I was saying about Dua Lipa, which I got to apologize for the slander of Dua Lipa in last week's episode. While I still stand by everything that I said about her, she is gracing the cover of Rolling Stone, and she said in her interview for the cover, "I just like to live my life, do my photo dump, write my songs, and dip. I'm not interested in trying to be controversial or do something for a reaction. My songs take so long and never get to number one, but they stay around for a long time. As long as the songs stick around and people are listening to them, I'm cool with that." So I was basically saying that, like, she doesn't have her, you know, it girl moment yet. She's just not giving me main pop star energy. And I was comparing her to Lady Gaga and Katy Perry on, like, the red carpets and stuff. And I'm not saying that she listens to tyrants, but if she does, and if Dua Lipa, you are listening to this and you're a tyrant, I sincerely apologize. Because you know what? You're right. You're right. You know, I still stand by what I said in, like, the terms of, oh my gosh, how much time I'm like digging a grave and then also, like, trying to undig it at the same time. So stay with me. What I was just saying, like, I'm literally contradicting myself in one sentence. Like, Dua, you don't have to, you know, do all these gimmicks and whatever to be relevant, because you are relevant. You are relevant and your songs slay. Yeah, they're not getting to number one, but they do kind of last. Like, Future Nostalgia, like, is an era, and I think it will be remembered, and, like, those songs will be relevant for a while. But then I also stand by what I say. It's like, but, like, that didn't, just because people are going to remember it for a while doesn't mean that, like, it changed anything about pop music or pop culture. And that's what I'm missing. Just because you are going to be remembered doesn't mean that you necessarily did anything to be remembered by, other than just make, like, some cute music. And that's like a subset conversation now, I guess. That just leads into the bigger topic of what I was saying. Like, what is right now going to be remembered by in terms of music, in terms of clothing, in terms of fashion? Like, we are just chasing different time periods so much. We want to be Y2K so bad. Now we want to be 2014 so bad. And we're just, like, forcing that era onto everyone. A couple, you know, TikToks go viral or whatever. Kylie Jenner dyed her hair pink and everyone's now like, oh my gosh, it's 2014. And it's like, I love that. That's so fun. But then also, what about 2024? Because if I'm constantly chasing the past, how am I going to thrive in the future? And also, how are we building and expanding new ideas and new concepts and new artists and new ways to invent pop culture? And I don't know. I'm torn. I am so obsessed with Kylie's pink hair, though. I literally made my day when I saw it this morning. I really, really hope it is not a wig. Not that it matters, I guess, but I hope that, like, she just fully went for it, because it is just so iconic. Speaking of 2024, I said that I was going to be giving you guys my ins and outs. However, now I'm over it. I have seen so many ins and outs on my feed, and I was waiting to do it so that it, like, wasn't just getting lost in the shuffle and so many people were doing it, but now I'm over it, so I don't care. But I did have one main takeaway that I personally want to be implementing. My main in for 2024 is being a tryhard. Yep, I said it. I'm done being effortless. I'm done trying to be, you know, the cool kid, the cool guy who's, like, effortlessly chic and, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah. No, I'm back to being a tryhard. I'm back to using props in photo shoots, being extra, you know, waking up early, shooting on the beach with a bouquet of flowers. I'm ready to be extra again, and I'm ready to be a tryhard. And you know what's out? I am done caring about coming across as trying too hard. Like, why do we have this obsession, or maybe this is just me, I don't know, with looking effortless and, you know, not seeming like we're trying too hard? I'm so sorry. I tried very hard and I'm trying very hard. I try very hard every day. It actually takes a lot of effort to do what I'm doing and I'm trying very hard. And I hope that it's not coming across as I don't try hard. There's a difference between there's a difference between coming across as a try hard, quote unquote, and coming across as someone who you tell tries hard. Does that make sense? Because I want to follow someone and I want to be inspired by someone who I know puts in the work and is putting in the effort. Now, if you can do that and make it look, you know, enjoyable and sexy and, for lack of a better word, effortless, then great, more power to you, amazing. I'm just so sick of feeling the pressure to come across a certain way or make it seem like I am, you know, effortless or this or that. I don't know. I don't know if I'm explaining that correctly at all, but I'm going back to being a tryhard. I used to be such a tryhard with my photo shoots and props and, you know, Perrier, then a Polaroid. And, you know, I drive to Santa Monica and I would have 10 outfits in the trunk of my Jeep. And I'm bringing that back. And I don't care. I don't care if I look tryhard. Now, you know who really needs to be out here in these streets in 2024 trying really hard? The airlines. Airlines, you need to get your shit together. Because tell me why. Every time I open my phone, every time I open that little TikToky, every time I open that Instagram, every time I check the news, do I see another one of those large airplanes that hold a lot of people up in the sky, flying, soaring, falling apart? The Alaska Airlines flight that had the door of the plane blow off in the middle of the flight. No one is talking about that. This needs to be broadcasted across America every single day until we figure out what the hell happened. Because I'm telling you, if I'm sitting on an airplane, I'm up in the sky, I'm 20,000 feet up in the air, and the door pops off. Now, I want a lot of things to pop off, like my career. However, I do not want the door of the airplane that I'm currently flying in 20,000 feet above the ground to pop off. How does that even happen? And the fact that no one got killed is insane. The fact that no one was in the seat directly next to it is insane. However, the person next to the seat right next to it and the person behind severely injured. It was so windy that it blew off the person's shirt. The person is now naked and afraid. The person, imagine, thank God it was a man. Imagine if that was a woman and you were not wearing a bra. You're sitting down and first off, you're terrified for your life because the door blew off. Now, your shirt blew off due to the cabin pressurization. You are now naked and afraid, flying titties, bouncing around on this airplane while everyone's watching you. And then the air thing comes down. You got to put the mask on, which, let's be honest, no one knows how to do that. Ain't none of us are checking the map in the sea in front of us on what happens in an emergency. I wouldn't know what to do. I'd probably be so scared I'd pass out. Like, I am just mind blown that that is even a possibility of things to happen. And the fact that it just like casually happened. And the fact that the door didn't land on anyone on the ground, on land, it literally landed in someone's yard. People's phones got sucked out. People found them. The guy behind the door, the pressure and the wind was so intense that literally his leg was getting sucked out of the window. Like his blood was starting to pool on one side of his body. Alaska Airlines, I'm gonna need you to try a little harder in 2024, okay? I'm gonna need you to try a little harder to secure the safety of all the passengers on board of your flights. We can't be having this. I've been seeing so many news articles about all these sketchy flight things. And you know what? 2024 is my traveling year. I got a lot of travels coming up, okay? I'm going to Puerto Vallarta. I'm going to Guatemala. I can't be having no funny business while I'm going, especially out of the country, okay? I don't want to die above the ocean, okay? I guess actually that's maybe the best way to go. Ah, no, I wonder what the statistics are. And if, well, I guess there definitely is a statistic, but like, are you more likely to survive a plane crash if you land on land or if you land in the water? My thoughts would probably be you have a better chance of survival landing in the water, because then it's just about like the pressure and then trying to stay afloat. But if you land on the ground, if it's not straight, then you're exploding. You're on fire. So I think you probably have a better chance in the water. However, there is a new Netflix documentary out, or a new Netflix movie about this like rugby team. I can't even remember when, like in the 80s, that crashed up in the mountains. When I tell you, if you get icked out about bones breaking, death, anything, when I tell you, don't even Google this film. Actually, cancel your Netflix subscription. Don't even log in to Netflix. Don't even hover over the app, because sometimes when you hover over it, they just automatically start playing a trailer whether you want it to or not. When I tell you, I saw... No, oh, don't worry. I haven't seen the movie. Now I'm intrigued. But the trailer alone for this movie about this plane crash had a slow motion segment about the actual moment that the crash hits. And when I tell you, you see legs break. You see people get sucked out. You see heads smash, arms backwards. You see everything. And when I tell you, it is in 120 frames per second. It is in slow motion. Slow motion, mama. And when I tell you, they took all the sound away except for crack, crack, split, dip. It is so realistic and it is so graphic. And the noise ASMR, I like ASMR videos. However, did I need an ASMR video of people's bones breaking in a plane crash? I'm going to go with no on that one. I didn't need the ASMR to that. But thank you, Netflix, for really putting that into perspective. And now I am terrified of flying more than I was already when I found out that the door popped off and landed in someone's yard. So yeah, needless to say, I'm not really looking forward to my trips coming up. I'm a little scared because airplanes, they're not having a good rep lately. They are really, really making some headlines in the news. And I'm terrified. And I need to watch this movie, but I'm also scared too. Maybe I need to watch this movie after I survive and I get back from Guatemala. Because the movie looks amazing. But apparently, you know, there's some cannibalism involved. And I don't know. After the trailer I saw alone, I don't need to see it. But it's based off of a true story, and I've never heard the story, and it's crazy. They were so far in the middle of nowhere that literally there wasn't even animals up high in that mountain. So they had to literally eat their dead friends, their dead teammates. I'm sorry. If I'm up there, and I don't think I'd be munching on them. I truly do not think I could get there. I don't know. I don't blame them for it whatsoever, but just like imagining that, the trauma, I can't. I really can't. I do need to watch the movie because I am very intrigued. I guess this is the only time that the movie or the story has been adapted and used the actual survivors' like names and like worked with them to make sure that it was realistic. I think actually, if I am not mistaken, they literally went up to the plane crash site and filmed it where the plane crash happened. I don't know. Netflix, you're crazy. You're crazy, but I will watch it. I will report back. But it's really not helping my fear of flying these days. And I never used to be afraid of flying. But now I'm getting a little iffy. Oh my gosh, you guys. I just got a text message from the Camp Rat group chat. The Coachella lineup has just been announced. Literally right now. So, oh my God. I live reaction, you guys. I'm reading it for the first time with the Tyrants. So, the headliners are Lana Del Rey, Tyler the Creator, and Doja Cat, with a special appearance by No Doubt. Okay. This is so not what I thought it was going to be, because there were so many leaks, and someone had leaked someone like last week that said it was going to be the Spice Girls, Justin Timberlake, and I think Tyler the Creator. So, wow. Okay. Lana Del Rey will be literally amazing. I'm so excited. Wow. I don't know if I've actually ever seen Lana Del Rey, so that will be so exciting. Peso Pluma, I have no idea who that is. Lil Uzi Vert, I love. Oh, Lil Uzi Vert. I hope to God that he brings out Nicki Minaj to do Everybody, my favorite song off her new album. Because you guys know I love that dance. I post it on my Instagram. If you guys know, you know. That's why you guys got to be following me on the Instagram, because there's so many things that happen over there that it's just, I can't explain it. You need to see the visual, you know? Anyways, Sabrina Carpenter. Wow, that's going to be amazing. She's so cute. Tyla, Make Me Sway. Oh my gosh, you guys. The Japanese house. The Japanese house. The Japanese house. Guys, the Japanese house is one of my favorite bands ever. I listen to them every single morning when I get ready. And I have seen them, I think, 2 or 3 times. Oh my gosh, Tinashe! Oh my gosh. Wait, I'm so excited. Damn, this font is so small. I gotta zoom in. I don't know who Blur is. Ice Spice. We've got Dom Dala. Bleachers. Grimes. Purple Disco Machine. Yeah. Ah! We've got Ray. You guys. You guys don't even know how much I love Ray. You guys don't even know how much I love Ray. Wow. That is going to be amazing. Doja Cat. Now, Doja Cat performed basically headline like 2 years ago. She wasn't the final headline, but she was like the second line up. And it was really good. It was a really fun performance. It was great. She killed it. We weren't that close to the stage, so it was a little hard to see. Also, I was fucked up when Doja Cat was performing. So I was, you know, trying to just stay standing and not pass away, literally. So I'm glad that I'll have a little redemption era. However, it will be on Sunday. Sunday headliner, the last slot. I'm going to be dead again. Damn, bitch. Like, I am going to be unwell by the 3rd day, a camp rat. 4th day, because you go Thursday. I'm not going to be well during her set. So I maybe would have put Doja first, Lana Del Rey last, because Lana Del Rey is more, you know, chill. You can take it a little easier. You know, you're not taking shots to Lana Del Rey. Doja Cat, however, I don't know. I don't know which one I would have rather done. J Balvin, Jenny Aoki. I don't know if I ever say that correctly. John Summit. Yes, he's so hot. Lil Yachty. I love Lil Yachty. DJ Snake. Okay, wow, okay. I really got to save myself for Sunday, because Sunday is going to be a lot more lit than Friday. Wow. I feel like the Victoria Monet, that's going to be so great. I feel like the lineup is not that big. Renee Rapp. Ooh, Bebe Rexha. And then No Doubt. Is it No Doubt Gwen Stefani's old band? Because that'll be fun. I don't really think I know a lot of their music, because I really know her as Gwen Stefani. Not a member of No Doubt. Am I getting that right? But why do I feel like this lineup is kind of small? Like, there's not that many names, especially Sunday. I mean, I guess there's a lot of, like, DJs. Oh, okay. Now that we've read through it all, what do we think, Tyrants? I don't really know what to say. There is a lot of good ones. Tyler, the Creator. I don't know his music that much. I know he's amazing, and I know he's so creative, so I feel like visually it'll be amazing. I need to study up on his music, and I'll report back after Coachella. Let me know if you guys, if any of my little tyrants are big Tyler, the Creator fans, let me know like where I need to start. Let me into the lore. Let me know what you like about Tyler, the Creator. Doja Cat will be super fun. Lana Del Rey, like I said, never seen her. But honestly, I'm probably most excited for the smaller names. Like, I'm probably most excited, most excited for the Japanese house, Ray, and like the DJs, like Dom Dala. Yeah, I don't know. Wow. Okay. Oh my gosh. I'm so happy that it's finally out and that happened while I was recording Tyrants. I will say, Coachella, if you ever make me wait this long again, you're going to be hearing from my lawyers, okay? Because this was a little too long. I was waiting a little too long, if you know what I'm saying, okay? So next time, don't play with my emotions like that, because Camp Rat needs time to prepare mentally, physically, emotionally. Also, on the topic of Coachella, I did already start shopping for my outfits, because you guys are fully aware that it is always a shit show. There's always a shipping issue, or, you know, whatever. I'm on a budget this year. So I've been looking and I've been trying to take advantage of the sales happening, like Essence, Farfetch. And I found a pair of pants that were just so amazing. I had to have them. They were definitely a little pricey for a Coachella fit, especially because I probably would only wear these pants at Coachella, not really in my day-to-day life. But they were on like 80% off, so I bought them. They were also not returnable because they were on such big sale. And when I tell you, Santa Claus is coming to town, okay? I ordered a size 30, but you know, I'm kind of in my chunkier era right now because I haven't utilized the gym membership that I got. Slow down. I've been in Lake Arrowhead, leave me alone. And so I ordered a 30 because I thought, okay, I've got 3 months to work out and I'm typically a 28. So like I'm probably a 30, 31 right now, maybe. When I tell you, they showed up today and it was as is. Miss Piggy was trying on a little yellow polka dot bikini. I could barely get my little arse in these pants. When I tell you, I've never felt so chunky monkey in my life. I've never been so humbled in my life. And yeah, I spent $250 on those pair of pants and they don't fit and they're not returnable. And what even hurts worse is that they are so amazing. They're even better in person than I thought. And so now it's like, you know, the race to Coachella. Can I fit in the pants by then? Because if not, I basically just threw away $250 down the trash. But if I'm going to be honest, I don't know how much give there is in my belly. I don't, even if I start working out, I don't think I'm going back down to 28 ever again. Because guess what? I'm not 18 anymore. Okay. I'm about to be 28. And a size 28 pant is just crazy. Like you have to be Troye Sivan. You have to be a little twinkie little boy. And I'm just not that little twinkie boy anymore. Unfortunately, trust me, I wish I was. But I'm going to try. I'm going to be working my ass off on that treadmill, on that stair stepper. I'm going to be doing sit-ups, pull-ups, push-ups, whatever I got to do to try and fit into these pants. But they're also tight on my legs, so I can't be doing too many squats. I can't be gaining too much leg muscle. I got to just be losing some fat. So if I start to look eerily skinny in about 3 months, just know I'm happy, I'm healthy, but I'm not wealthy. So I needed to utilize the $250 pair of pants that I bought for Coachella, and I might need to get a little unhealthily skinny before that happens. Now, I don't even know if that's possible. Trust me, the tyrants will be getting a day-to-day update once I do utilize the gym membership, and you guys will definitely know if I get to use these pants or not, but I really, really hope I do. If not, I'm going to have to just sell them online or something like a Depop or something and hope that someone buys them. But they're so funky and weird that I don't really think a lot of people are probably going to buy them. You know, you guys know I got some crazy style and I'm trying hard this year. I'm being a try hard in 2024. So my outfits will definitely reflect that. Ah, I'm just so excited for Camp Rat to come back. Wow. Honestly, that's going to be the best part. It's just camping. If any of my tyrants are camping, you guys need to let me know. And I'll give you guys some tips. Wow. Okay. I'm reading the comments of their Instagram post and I don't really think people are loving the lineup. I won't lie. Yeah. A lot of people don't really like it. I don't know how to feel about it. You know, Coachella really, the lineup obviously matters. However, it's all about the vibes. It's all about the experience and going into the desert, especially when you go camping. Like, it's all just about the vibes. So regardless, I'm going to have so much fun. I can't freaking wait. Speaking of music, also, Ariana Grande. We got a new Ariana Grande song called Yes And. And it is an interpolation of Vogue by Madonna. It came out last Friday, and she's got some things to say. Ariana Grande is kind of putting her whole life out there, and she's kind of almost like responding to me personally because of the absolute slanderous attacks that I have said about her on this podcast regarding SpongeBob SquarePants, her boyfriend. And, you know, I appreciate her sticking up for her man and her saying, you know, yes, and like, why do you care whose dick I ride? Blah, 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 blah. Cause cute. You know, you gotta, cause if you're gonna do something, you gotta stand in it and you gotta really plant your feet and, you know, no apologies. However, you know, I think it would have maybe landed better if with the song we got maybe a little bit more context on her side of the story. Because you saying, yes, and why do you care whose dick I ride? When we're not just talking about you dating some random SpongeBobby Broadway guy. We're talking about you breaking up a family. A newborn child, a baby, a marriage. So, I don't know. But she kind of just has that whole attitude. Same thing with, like, thank you, next. You know, she just kind of loves to utilize these moments in her life to, you know, really catapult her singles. I mean, everyone does. Taylor Swift, everyone. That's, like, how you get a single to go big, you know? I just would have loved a little bit more context because I don't think she's really eating as much as she thinks she's eating. Now, the song is fun. It's bumping. It's fun. However, it does sound as though Ariana Grande is doing a cover of a Glee song of a Madonna cover. Does that make sense? Like, Madonna has a song, then Glee does a cover. And then Ariana Grande is covering the Glee version of the Madonna song. That's what it's giving me. It's giving me H&M dressing room vibes. It's giving me waiting in line at Zara. You know, it's not giving me, I'm going to go to the dance and pop my pussy, yay. It's not giving me, I want to hear this at a concert immediately. It's giving me, wow, this is a fun tune to bop while I am trying on a size 32 pant at H&M because apparently my big fat ass can no longer fit in a size 30. That's what it's giving me, you know? So I'm interested to see what the rest of this era brings, when we're going to get a new album, all of those things. But, you know, just another pop girl who's, you know, kind of not feeding me, you know? And I bring back opinions. I'm allowed to have an opinion, okay? So any Arianators, whatever you guys call yourselves, don't come for me. I like the song. I think it's fun. I think she's amazing. I am just kind of over this like sample prison that we're in. Like everyone is sampling everything. Everyone's interpoluting things or whatever. Bring back an original song. Now, a lot of people when given that argument say that Beyonce samples a lot in her music. Yes, she does. But her samples are so intricate and so small that like she created a whole new song with it. You couldn't even break down the sample. But if you heard the sample, then, you know, you'd be like, okay, yeah, I get it. But all of these songs, I mean, especially these DJs, I mean, Bebe Rexha and Kim Petras, free them from the shackles of samples, please. I want a summer bop next summer. Well, this summer, 2024 summer. Please let the song of the summer not be a sampled song from the 90s. Please, please. That is all I want. Now, Ariana Grande's music video, I don't know how I feel about it. Because, you know, I'm not really, I don't think that demographic. I was a theater kid in the fifth grade. However, I graduated out of that. I have nothing against theater kids. But that kind of like, what's it called? Like Fosse. It's very like, I guess it was like, you know, shouting out Paula Abdul. But it's just, once again, she's not, you know, doing the Paula Abdul music video like Paula Abdul is doing it. She's doing it as if it's a Glee cover, as if it is for a Hulu original series about Paula Abdul. You know what I'm saying? It's just not giving like authentic dance, amazing. Like, I don't know. There's just something about it that feels cheap to me that I can't quite pin. Maybe it's the outfit. Maybe it's, you know what? It might be the hat. It might be the little fedora, the little at baker's hat. I don't even know what kind of hat that is, but it's not really my vibe. And I don't really feel like it's even Ariana Grande's vibe. Ariana Grande's aesthetic these days just like is really not resonating with me. And as you guys know about the Taylor Swift argument, I really, in order for me to really like become like a stan of someone, a lot of it has to do with aesthetics and the photo shoots and the visuals and everything. It's not just the songs, because if I strip away just the song, of course the song is great. But for me to like really become like part of the stand-up of an artist, I have to get behind everything. And her vibes lately just really aren't my vibe. Even like her TikToks and everything. Also, I saw a TikTok of her the other day and I've never noticed how freaking black Ariana Grande's eyes are. Like they are dark. They are not just dark brown. Like they are black. It is like all one big pupil. It's crazy. I was seeing this Vogue TikTok of her, and I'm not saying it's bad. Like, it's honestly, it's cute. It's like giving like very doe-eyed, like she looks like literally an anime character. It's crazy. But like, there was always, there's something with her new look lately that I was just like, I couldn't quite pinpoint. And I finally figured out that's what it is. Her eyes are literally black. It's crazy. Also, I'm not loving this blonde hair color on her. And she's just so pale these days. And I get before she was, you know, just like covered in 1200 spray tans. So, you know, embrace your pale skin tone. But I don't know, just the stark difference of her aesthetic from, you know, her like break free days. It's taken me an adjustment to get used to. I don't know. But anyways, it's a cute song. What do you guys think of the song? Let me know. Send me a DM. What you guys think? I think it's fun. Yes. And say that shit with your chest. I also just think maybe it's like not really landing to me because it's just kind of cringy that it's about SpongeBob, you know? But I'm really trying to think about how there's two sides to every story and that maybe I've got to give her the benefit of the doubt. And also, I need to stop judging him because he's like not conventionally attractive. That's rude. That's just rude, no matter which way you put it. And yes, I realize I'm being a bitch and I'm being a cunt. And you know what? I'll take that and I'll try and do better. Okay. You know who else needs to do better? Gypsy Rose. Now, I'm just as happy as the last person that this poor woman is out of prison and free from the shackles of her mother. We've seen every interview, every TikTok. She's been on every television show, all the things. I'm sure we're all annoyed about hearing about her. I just have a few things to say. Gypsy, I don't know how the law works. I don't know how double jeopardy works. I don't know about, you know, parole. However, I don't think that it's necessarily the smartest decision for you to be going on every podcast, every television show, everything on the earth, talking about your experience in murdering your mother. I'm just saying, because, you know, you might let a little extra detail out that maybe the jury didn't know. You might, you know, piss off the judge and seem like you're, you know, profiting off of this experience, or I don't know. I know there are like some laws about like profiting off of crimes that you've committed. I'm sure she's got a good team behind her. I am just worried for her. And I think the faster you climb, the faster you fall. And I'm scared. I'm scared for her. Her life has just had so many like exaggerated storylines, like plots, and you know, from being abused all growing up to then, you know, being in prison and now she's a celebrity. It's like, whoa, like what normal human can process that information? It's hard to be famous, just period. It's hard to, you know, deal with a loss in your family, period. It's hard to go to prison, period. It's hard to be abused, period. You're doing all of it simultaneously. And like, I don't know. I'm scared for her. I don't know much about her story, but I feel like now I do. I hadn't heard much about her story before like December. And then, I mean, just literally my entire For You page on TikTok is about Gypsy Rose, about the murders, the documentaries, The Act on Hulu, which is, you know, based on her, which I was going to watch The Act to, you know, kind of learn more about the experience. But Gypsy has said in interviews that they did not get permission or insight, you know, from family members or anything about that story. So like, I just don't know if I want to support, you know, the exploitation of her even further. And she said in interviews that she hasn't watched it, but her like stepmom has watched it and said that there were a lot of like discrepancies or a lot of incorrect things about the storyline. So I don't know, maybe I'll still watch it just to get like a general idea, general synopsis of her experience. But like I said, I've seen about every TikTok in the world about her and I feel like I have a pretty good idea. And I guess if I want to be famous, I have to kill my mom. I'm kidding. Everyone calm down. I'm kidding. But that is a crazy thought. Like, this bitch literally, I mean, rightfully so, to get out of an abusive situation. I don't think she should have ever been in prison in the first place. But she was an accessory to murder. And now she's a celebrity. That's kind of crazy. And I don't know what to think about it. The comments on social media, you know, his D is fire. I'm sure we've all seen it. We've all heard about it. That actually, I don't even really blame her for, because She had no social interactions before prison. Then she goes to prison. I've never been to prison. I'm sure a wide range of, you know, individuals, personalities, backgrounds, whatever. But if I had to bet, I'm sure that that's how people talk in prison. Like, yeah, that's my man. His dick is fire. Leave me alone. I'm sure that that would be an appropriate response to someone. And so, you know, that's just how, she's never had social media. I am scared for her, is all I have to say. And I think we need to give her a little bit of space to really process and acclimate into normal society. Like I said, I don't know how parole works. I don't know how the justice system works, really. I know it's effed up, but, you know, she wanted to go to the Taylor Swift concert, or she wanted to go to the Chiefs game in hopes of meeting Taylor Swift. And then she couldn't, and she had to leave the state because of her parole officer, yada, yada, yada. So I think she's just kind of being thrown into society, not really knowing that, like, you actually aren't out of the clear 100% yet. Like, she can go back to prison if she breaks her parole. I'm sure now her case is so big that, like, she's got to have a good team behind her. And I'm sure no one in the justice system wants to see her, like, back in prison. But I saw a few clips of her on Nick Vial's podcast, which is crazy. That, I'm so sorry, this girl murders her mom with her ex-boyfriend and goes to jail for 9 years. And she gets out of prison. And the first podcast that she goes on is Nick Vial. Like, what? An ex-bachelor contestant, an ex-murderer goes onto the podcast fresh out of prison. Like, make that make sense to me. I've never heard Vial Files, so I guess I don't know what kind of topics they cover, but I thought it was more like pop culture-y. Can we get, you know, maybe someone a little bit more experienced in the judicial system and in the criminal justice system to be interviewing? Could we not get Kim Kardashian to do it? Because doesn't she have a crime podcast or something? I don't know. Going on Vial Files fresh out of prison is crazy to me. And then to go on this podcast, and she is sharing every detail under the sun. It is crazy. I need to listen to the full thing, but the one that I saw recently, which I guess I feel bad. I literally have been calling her a murderer this whole time because, like, she didn't murder him. That's why she's not still in prison. She, you know, was an accessory to it. Her ex-boyfriend did it. But she was saying that she, you know, doesn't identify as a murderer because she didn't do it. He did, all this, whatever. But all the details that she was saying, I was like, ma'am, if your parole officer is watching this, I'm sure he's not too happy. I'm sure he's not too happy. And I would probably shut up. I'd probably shut up. If I had just gotten out of jail for 10 years, mama, I would shut the hell up. I would go home. I'd, you know, maybe do the documentary, share your story, get that bag. And then I would go into hiding for at least 2 years. 2 years. Then maybe come back on social media, have your outfit of the day pics or whatever. But then again, I don't know. You already got rid of so much of your life. Like, why do you have to go into hiding anymore? You were already, you know, in prison with your mom, and then you were an actual prison. And now it's like, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the correct answer is. I am just nervous for her. I'm not judging her. I'm just nervous for her. And I want her to be safe. Also, her husband. Now, I've learned my lesson about the Ethan Slater slander. I'm not going to say anything about his looks because that's irrelevant to the conversation, even though I know a lot of you guys online are making that part of the conversation. I think they make a cute couple. He seems very sweet. He's a special education teacher, and they're both from the same state. Yada, yada, yada. Now, what kind of an individual is writing to people in prison and marrying them while they're in prison? I don't know. I actually don't know. I'm asking a question. What kind of an individual writes in someone in prison who's in there for murdering their own parent and then marries them before they're even out of prison? I don't know. That's just kind of a crazy thought to me. I could not imagine. Like, me and JC were talking about this at her birthday brunch the other day with Chelsea, and she was like, I'm so sorry. If I found out that you were writing someone in prison who was in there for helping murder their mother, and I found out that then you wanted to marry them, I would check you into a psychiatric hospital. Like, that's not necessarily a normal social behavior. And who am I to say what a normal social behavior is? Because I don't act normal in social situations. Tequila is a feral freaking rat. I get that. However, this is a little different. So I don't know. It's just something to think about. And everything that I've seen, they seem so sweet together. She seems so happy. And, you know, who's to say you can't find love in prison? Who's to say you can't get married to someone in prison and have a happily ever after? Okay. Who's to say that? Not me. I don't know. Once again, I'm only saying this out of pure fear for this poor woman. You know how they say that people are frozen at the age that they get famous? Like, people say that Taylor Swift is like mentally frozen at 16 because that's when she got famous. People say that about like a lot of Disney stars, whatever. Justin Bieber. She is still 14 to me. The fact that Gypsy Rose is like 33 is crazy. The way that she talks, the way that she carries herself, obviously I know she hasn't had the most like average life experiences, so she's going to be like a little different, but just even like her voice, inclination, the way she speaks, like everything is, she literally is 14 to me. It's wild. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I forgot to bring up the Emmys and the Critics' Choice Awards were this last weekend. However, I'm failing my job miserably. I did not watch them. I'm sorry. Award season came out of absolutely nowhere, and there is literally been one every single day since. Like, what? Why are they all just crammed into 1 month? It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, can we not spread them out throughout the year so we have something exciting to look forward to all the time? It's crazy. So I didn't watch either of them. I was still in Lake Arrowhead, and obviously Tequila was being a feral rat, and so she didn't watch. However, you know, I've seen like clips on TikTok. I've seen the fashions. Nothing super standout. Obviously, I think people coming off of the Globes, there was a lot of drama with Joe Coy, obviously with the celebrities. So everyone was being on their best behavior. Let's just say that. There wasn't any celeb gossip, really. Chelsea Handler was so much funnier as the host than Joe Coy, which is honestly hilarious because they're exes. But she was just the perfect example at how you can do this job and be funny and poke fun at this room full of celebrities and have it be funny. It can be funny. It just doesn't have to be degrading, but it can be funny. And you can poke at stereotypes. Like, she's poked fun at Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, liking young girls, all this whatever. So I don't know. The clips that I've seen off of TikTok were really cute. And I was so happy to see RuPaul's Drag Race win for best reality competition. I think this is their fifth time winning, and this made history as RuPaul is the most awarded host in Emmy's history, 8 wins, and RuPaul now holds the record for most wins by a person of color, which we have just got to salute. Mama Ru out here being a person of color, being a drag queen, being a gay icon, just securing these wins. And honestly, that was like the biggest, obviously I'm a flaming homosexual who loves Drag Race, but that was the biggest takeaway from the Emmys for me. The rest of them, I think, you know, it's like obviously Barbie, you know, all this, whatever. I was kind of shook that I'm Just Ken won over What Was I Made For. I'm kind of just confused what the Emmys are. I thought the Emmys were only for television. Wait, I thought the Emmys were only for television. What the heck is Barbie doing there? But then was it Oppenheimer there too? I don't know. I'm so confused about all the different kinds of award shows. But I feel like the main ones, I mean, now the Golden Globes after this year. But, you know, the Oscars and Grammys. That's what I'll be tuning into. That's what I'll be, you know, recapping more about and my thoughts about the movies and all of this. But, yeah, as far as the Emmys go, there wasn't any major fashion moments that I saw that I loved, mainly because the step and repeat background was so freaking heinous that it made it so hard to enjoy anyone's outfits. It was conflicting so much. The words were so big. There were so many words on it. It literally ruined everyone's opportunity to get a photo because Fox just wanted to advertise their brand, apparently. There was one outfit that really stuck out to me. It was, oh my gosh, what's her name? Robert Pattinson's girlfriend, who is currently pregnant with his bebe, I think her name's Suki Waterhouse. Yeah, wow. I mean, slay. You guys know I love to see a pregnant bitch out here owning that belly, serving fashion, serving cunt. I love it. I love to see it. Rihanna does it well. Beyonce does it well. Suki Waterhouse, you've joined the club. You've joined the club of elite prego bellies, okay? And you're an icon, you're a legend, you're gorgeous. I know nothing about you, but I know you're a singer. I know that you are carrying Renesmee in your belly, Robert Pattinson's baby. Now, I'm fully aware that Renesmee is a fictional character and that Robert Pattinson and Edward Cullen are two different people. However, it is not processing in my brain that that is not Renesmee inside of that belly. So I'm just going to keep going with that. And if that baby in any way sort of resembles Renesmee, I'll be shocked and gagged. And there's a possibility because I feel like Suki Waterhouse kind of gives off that vibe. Now, speaking of Renesmee, how crazy was it that they had the budget that they had and they made that scary ass looking little girl? Why was that baby so creepy? Like, just use a real baby. Maybe that was the point. Like, it wasn't supposed to look real. But, like, the wolves looked so real. So why is that CGI-ass vampire hybrid baby so shocking looking? And then that nasty little girl, she, you know what it was giving? It was giving Polar Express. The animation style of Renesmee in Twilight was giving the Polar Express. And now he said it. And, you know, that's just an observation. It's not necessarily slander because you guys know how much I love the Polar Express. So just something to point out. But anyways, yeah, the Emmys were good. Congrats to Drag Race. Speaking of Drag Race, we've got the new season. We got the new season. Are we on season 16 or 17? Because that's wild. They are just pumping out Drag Races out of the wazoo. We got Canada. We got Australia. We got Thailand, we got Spain, France, Holland. Like, oh my gosh. Mama Ru is just raking in that dough. It's crazy. So we're on season 16 right now. No one's gone home yet. I won't spoil anything. Well, what I just did. But I didn't spoil anyone going home, I guess. There was a talent show. They did a two-part premiere. If you guys watched it, curious to hear your guys' thoughts. I'm holding my reservations right now. Typically, in years past, I do correctly predict the winner. I correctly predict in the first episode. At this point in the competition, I cannot pick who's going to win. I will say that the queen that bugged me the most was, what's her name? Princess Poppy. It's so hard to talk about the show this early on because I don't know any of their names. I don't know any of their names. And I don't have, like, you know, a horse in the race yet. Like, I don't, like, love anyone yet. Oh, yeah, but Princess Poppy. She, I won't spoil it, but she is really getting on my nerves. She walked into the workroom with a strong-ass attitude, a lot of opinions, and most of them wrong. Most of them incorrect. She's thinking she's the trade of the season. I said, Mama, where is the trade? And also, can you please give me the definition of trade? Because I don't see it. Is the trade in the room with us? Clearly not. So she walked in with, I mean, I admire the confidence, but, and I mean, I guess, you know, it's working to her advantage. Like, she did perform well. Oh my gosh, the motorcycles. She did perform well, but I'm not having the tude. I'm not having the absolute attitude from this bitch. And she just is like, being so rude to everyone. It's not even attitude, like, you know, confidence, sexy, you know, drag queen banter. It's like she's just being straight up rude and catty. I don't like it. I'm not having it. But I'm so excited for the season. I'm so glad that Drag Race is back, blessing us every Friday on MTV. You guys got to watch. If you're not, then you hate me. And gays. You hate the gays, okay? Well, I've successfully recorded an episode of Tyrants without coughing up my literal lung. Don't get me wrong. I went to urgent care. Don't act like I'm just over here neglecting my health and wellness. Well, I kind of am because I still proceeded to drink afterwards. But you guys know I switched up my health insurance and I switched to a new provider because it was like half off, same coverage. So I went to urgent care right before I went to Lake Arrowhead because I was just like, you know what? I want to get medicine. I want to nip this cough in the butt. Like, I'm going to go have a weekend and it's probably just going to get worse. So I want to get on medication now to get ahead of it. So I went in right before urgent care was closing on Thursday night. And I thought that my old insurance didn't switch over until the end of January. Well, I show up, I sit in the waiting room, I fill it all out, and surprise, you have no health insurance. You've been canceled. Now, because I was unaware of the switchover, I did not have access to the new information readily available to me. So I go home. I'm like, whatever, who cares? I'll go home, figure out my insurance information, and then go back tomorrow morning before I start the drive to the 5-hour drive to Lake Arrowhead. I go home. I realize I haven't checked my mail in a while. So I go to the mail. Shocker. There's insurance information in there. And it's been sitting in there for 4 weeks. And now I'm like past payment. And they're like, if you don't make your first payment by this date, then it cancels your plan. So I'm thinking, great. Now I have no insurance. And I missed, you know, you can only sign up for insurance during certain times. I don't know. It's crazy. I finally log in, sign up, like figure out my login information, create an account on my new platform, and it lets me, you know, make up my payment, and then I have to pay this month as well. So yeah, what did I say? It was $300. So $700 later, I paid for the health insurance, and you know, just wow, I'm so glad that right after the holidays, right before my weekend vacation, I now have to spend $700 on health insurance so that I can go to urgent care so that I don't have to cough out my lung. Then I think I have it all figured out, but I don't have my insurance card yet. But I have like my account information and everything else on my account. So then I go in first thing in the morning to urgent care again right before I go, and they still can't find it. They're like, you know, maybe since you just made the payment last night, it's not reading in the system yet. It says that your account is inactive because you haven't paid. Going to urgent care once is already annoying enough, but going twice really, really was not the best, because then what did I have to do right now? Oh, and also, not to mention, I just spent $700 on it, and then I still couldn't see the doctor because it wasn't reading in their system yet. So now I'm $700 in to this insurance, and you're telling me I still can't see a doctor? Give me the medicine. Give me something for my throat, please. So I don't know, maybe I'll go in tomorrow or something and see, hopefully it's, you know, or maybe I need to check my mail and see hopefully that I got my card or something delivered. I don't know. Then right after that, I had to go get the Wrangler service because her oil light has been on ever since I drove back from Flagstaff, and it needed like washer fluid for the windshield, whatever. So I have never heard of this thing, but it's called like Vaseline or something. And they basically do like quick and easy oil changes. You pull in, they say you're going to be done in like 15 minutes. Hallelujah. It was the easiest thing I've ever done. Literally, other than making an appointment or going to dealership, Jeep dealership. So it was so easy. I was like, done, done, done. I get in. I'm thinking I'm going to be spending an arm and a leg on an oil change. And they're like, oh, it's only like $100. I'm like, great. Perfect. Amazing. Then, you know, they enter all the Wrangler's information in. They're like, oh my gosh, you need your power steering fluid. You need this. You need this. You're supposed to get it all done at 40,000 miles and you're at 50,000 miles. When I tell you, I left that service station $600 poor. Need I remind you that 5 hours before this, I had to spend $700 on my health insurance. And then I went to urgent care and I still didn't get helped. So at least they were able to help me for the services that I paid them for. But yeah, Rita the Wrangler, you're an expensive ass little bitch, okay? And I'm sick of it. Car shit is the most annoying stuff to deal with. And it begs the question, is it worth it? Is it worth it? I was doing the math on how much I spend on car insurance and like repairs and gas and tires and everything, like my car payment. And I'd be able to spend like, I can't remember what it was, like $40 a day, every day on Uber if I didn't have a car. Mama, Monday through Friday, I ain't going nowhere. How can we touch a motherfucker? I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying in my ass indoors. If I go anywhere, I'm walking to the beach, I'm walking to the coffee shop. I literally don't use the car half the time. And so I've been thinking about getting rid of this bitch, but I just like, I can't, because what if I want a road trip? What if I have to go on a photo shoot? What if I want to go to Malibu? Like, you just need a car. But I'm like, do I need that nice of a car? Do I need that expensive in a car? Or do I sell her and get one that I can just pay cash for? But Rita's just my little baby girl. And now I'm just so used to her. And now I've had it. I mean, it's almost paid off now. I don't have that much more to go. So I'm like, I might as well just pay it off. You know, being an adult, I've had a lot of people tell me that 27 is really the year that tests you. And it's really a transitional year from your teenager into your early 20s to, you know, being a full-fledged adult. And wowza, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the transition. I'm feeling the life lessons. But I'm not complaining. Remember, I'm in my positive era. I did just pass my half birthday, actually, last week. So you're all fake for not wishing me a happy half birthday. But that just means I'm that much closer to 28, which I would be sad about because I'm scared of getting older and I'm terrified of being old and ugly. However, I'm ready to close this chapter at 27. She's been a pain in my ass. Anyways, happy Wednesday. Thanks for letting me rant here with my little tyrants. I love you guys so, so much. Don't forget to give rating and review, Spotify, Apple, all the things. You know what to do. And I will see you on Friday. Mwah.
Bye.